We round out today's show in the world of wildlife poaching. It's a big business, and conservation nonprofits put hefty resources behind protecting parks and wildlife sanctuaries from poachers who are looking for things like ivory and animal skins. The Worldwide Fund for Nature, known here in the U.S. as the World Wildlife Fund, is one such organization. But according to a new investigation from BuzzFeed News, that charity has also been funding anti-poaching guards in Africa and Asia who have committed gross human rights abuses, including torture and murder. Katie J.M. Baker is one of the investigative reporters behind the story, and she joins us now from London. Katie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Katie, so what was it exactly that you found? What are the abuses and who is allegedly committing them?
We found that in six different countries in Africa and Asia, the forest rangers who patrol national parks combating poaching have been accused of torturing, murdering, sexually assaulting, and other crimes against the indigenous people who, in many cases, have been relocated so that those parks can exist. And our investigation looked into WWF's role in this, and we found that they, while claiming to work hand in hand with indigenous communities, have also been funding and training and equipping these forces for quite some time.
You talk about a war on poaching. Who are the players in this war and how is it playing out?
So poaching is a billion-dollar industry that terrorizes animals and threatens some species' very existence, and poachers do take advantage of regions where there is poverty and violence. And in a lot of the countries we are looking into, that is the situation on the ground. But what we were told by WWF itself is that their target is these out-of-town poaching kingpins, not the indigenous people on the ground, some of whom sometimes do help out poachers, but on a very low level. And sometimes these people are just fishing or doing small-scale hunting legally, and the forest rangers see them around and will go over and start abusing them or torturing them without, you know, any due process at all. So you have, instead of in the name of fighting poaching, you have indigenous people, many of whom have been barred to access in these national parks, being very mistreated.
Was the WWF aware of this kind of abuse that was happening?
WWF said that they're commissioning an external review by a law firm into the findings in our story, but further reporting from us will show that they have commissioned this type of review before, and we will be detailing a review that found that WWF was complicit in human rights abuses by forest rangers on the ground.
Have they turned a blind eye to this in your findings?
WWF says that they take any abuses very seriously. They say all human rights abuses are a red line and that they investigate any complaint that they receive of this nature. However, our investigation found that there are rangers who have openly confessed to waterboarding and torturing poaching suspects, yet WWF has funded these forces and even given them awards. We've spoken to families in Cameroon that said that they were tortured by forest rangers at a WWF-supported park. The family submitted a complaint and they said that they never heard back months later. So while the charity does say that they take this seriously, our reporting found some gaps there.
Can you take us through a specific story of the abuse that you're finding here? I think you mentioned a story in Nepal.
Yes. So one of the cases in our first story was an indigenous farmer from a Taru tribe named Shikaram Chaudhary. Shikaram was arrested and detained by forest rangers at Chitwan National Park in Nepal, who believed that he had helped his son bury a rhinoceros horn in his backyard. They didn't find the horn, but they locked him up anyway, because in Nepal, park rangers can arrest anyone without a warrant. And 9 days later, after being detained in the jail at the park, he was dead. Seven different eyewitnesses and activists and Shikaram's wife and daughter all said that he had been tortured during his detainment. The park said that he just fell off a bench and that it was kind of an uneventful week. And there was a big controversy, and three officials from the park were arrested. But as our reporting found, WWF helped lobby for the charges to be dropped. They celebrated once the charges were dropped, and then they later hired one of the alleged killers to work directly for them on the ground, and then they gave one of the second rangers a special award even after he had written this kind of bizarre memoir confessing to waterboarding other suspects at the park.
Katie, I just want to make sure I understand what's motivating this level of violence in this war on poaching. Is it money? Is it fame? Is it, what is it?
That's a good question. Well, like I said before, poaching is a really serious issue. It is a billion-dollar industry run by these international kingpins. It is threatening wildlife, and it is really important to fight back against it. And WWF has very good reasons for trying to stop poachers. But we feel that the voices of Indigenous people who are the collateral damage in this war against poaching haven't gotten the chance to describe their experiences and talk about, you know, how this war has affected them. And that's why we wrote our story, because while we do think that it's important to fight poaching, we also think it's important to listen to the voices of the Indigenous people who say that they are being abused as part of this war.
There are lots of Americans, I'm sure, and people around the world who've either contributed to this organization or believe in the ideals that they stand for. For those people who care about conservation, who care about protecting wildlife, what is this story? What's the takeaway for them from this story?
I think that WWF does really great work, and I hope that donors who are upset by the revelations in our story will urge them to do better and be more transparent about the way that they handle complaints of abuse by forest rangers. I think that WWF could be more transparent about the way that they investigate such claims. I think that a reason why our story might be shocking to people is because all you read about on WWF's website is how well they work with Indigenous communities. And while it may be true that they have had some really incredible collaborations with communities on the ground, these stories aren't being told. And so I hope that donors will encourage WWF to be more open about what's happening in regards to allegations of abuse.
All right. Katie J.M. Baker is an investigative reporter for BuzzFeed News, and we have a link to the piece on our website, thetakeaway.org. Katie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.